So I bring up some commission. I don't really know when to set the commission. Are you that dense? But everyone's had the common with that. Go ahead, yeah.
I have really holding
I think you're giving him my ignition. Thank you.
Where did it come again?
It's like a book.
I'm still here with you, brother. And you can still end this day. Yeah.
Oh, shut up!
Thank you very much, sir.
I must have realized I don't know if there was a Gemara in here. Closed. There's plenty of ones closed.
Yeah, I promise you.
Yeah, Gemara closed and I promise you it doesn't get them in sleep.
That is some of that. Okay, now basically I want to go through. A little bit
special.
Go from a little bit from Vayeshev and sort of try into Yonah Yoma of Hanukkah, which is already starting on Ezras Hashem on Sunday night, which is very much, although it's not into our past of Vayeshev, but Chazal always say that brought down many places that always Vayeshev comes around either Shabbos before Hanukkah or Shabbos Hanukkah. This year happens to come Shabbos before Hanukkah, but there's a lot of connections between Chanukah and Yosef. The most obvious one is that they couldn't see inside the boyer, because the boyer is more than 20 amos deep, and if you could not come put a menorah more than 20 amos high. As Alpi Halacha has brought down Halacha, but I want to go through a little bit Haskafa of what one thing has to do with the other. Before that, a couple of points that I want to go through. The very, very important first topic of the six Sedra. Vayeshev Yaakov is the Eretz Megurei Ovi Beretz Kanaan. Vayeshev Yaakov, says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leishu B'Shalvot. Yaakov wanted to sit B'Shalvot. He wanted to sit in peace. He wanted to relax. By doing so, what does Rashi say it? Kofat Olav. What does it say? Which Rashi is this? Here, over here. First Rashi over here. Yeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leishu B'Shalvot. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace. Kofat Olav Roig Zay Shul Yosef. Jump to him the Roig Zay Shul Yosef. What's Roig Zay mean?
Oh, God.
Rog is...
The
steel? I think it means... The most easy way, Roig Zay Shul Yosef means the discomfort of Yosef. Says Rashi, Tzadikim Mavakshin Leishu B'Shalvot. Tzadikim wish to sit in comfort. Oyma Kodesh Baruch Hu Leidayin Tzadikim Masim Mesukin Hen Leidam Habo. Is it not enough that it's sitting in Leidam Habo in comfort? Elish Mavakshin Leishu B'Shalvot Leidam Habo. I want to sit here in comfort too. Now always, this Rashi sort of threw me off a little bit. First of all, what's the deal? Okay. What is clear is that the Tzadikim don't want to Leishu B'Shalvot. Tzadikim are not in it for the easy life. You know, people generally, the Tamil Chacham, not the ones with the big cars and the big houses, and going out with Chinese, and Sushi. They're the ones who have got the thick glasses, the shiny suit, sitting there, collecting over Shri Rambam, usually looked down at because they haven't quite made it in the business world, and worrying how to marry off kids, worrying how to pay off bills, and that's the time of the Chokha. The biggest Yaakov Leishu v'shalva, Yaakov wanted to sit the shalva. Yaakov was a hard working guy, number one. Number two, even if they want to sit the shalva, what was it for? Wanted to retire? He wanted to play golf? You know, he wanted to go to the golf course in Eretz Canaan, you know, Eretz Canaan famous golf course. I mean, what's Yaakov Leishu v'shalva for? What for? He wants to, that's it, he wants to relax. I mean, he's entitled, he had a tough, difficult life. He had the Esav, he had Lavan, he'd been working, his wife died. I mean, he's had a difficult life so far. Dina, the whole thing, Dina already. But wasn't Bikish Yakalesh of the Shalva? I mean, what did he want it for? He wanted it, of course, in order that he's able to learn better and to, you know, write his Chiddushim down and to teach his sons and to be working on his Midas and to work on his Avodas Hashem and Yiras Shemayim. That's what Leishu v'Shalva. Hashem says, not enough to get it next world, but in this world too. And why is that a Taina? Why is that a Taina? Why is that wrong for Yaakov to ask for Shalva? Why is it wrong for Yaakov to ask for the Menuchas and Nefesh? They can sit and learn properly. Shalva means. He obviously wanted to learn Torah.
14 years he learned
Torah. That's not enough. Nothing 14 years to learn Yeshiva. So what's that Leishu v'Shalva? What's wrong with Yaakov to Bikish Leishu v'Shalva? What was wrong with that? So Chaim Shmulevitz says, I think it's Chaim Shmulevitz, he says that for Yaakov to believe the Leishu v'Shalva means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me in a position that I should not be in where I am now. This means my avoider is that I have to reach the highest level of Torah and Yiras Shemayim I can possibly reach. Made Yaakov a Chesman. How do you do that? By giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me Shalva. By Hashem giving me peace of mind, room to air out my mind and become great through that. So the Chaim Shnevitz, that's not what Rabbi Yitzchak wants from you. That's not what Rabbi Yitzchak wants from you. Hashem wants you to be in exactly the position where you are now and be in the highest, greatest level that you are right now. And even if you'd have a better brain, and even if you'd be in a more relaxed situation, and even if you'd be more financially secure, and you'd be healthier, and you'd have a better wife, and better kids, whatever it may be. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want you to be in the highest level of learning. Hashem wants you to be in the highest level in this position exactly in right now. And therefore the fact that Yaakov couldn't learn the best he could because he wasn't the Shalva, so what? Do you want to change the situation? The situation, you have to daven to change the situation. Of course the person is always daven for the best things. But what you have to realize is that don't think to yourself that if only I would be there, I would be doing better. Right now you're here, and right now if you're supposed to be here, that is where you're supposed to be learning, and that's how you're supposed to be learning, with this chavruta, with this masechta, with this headache, yeah, with this cough and cold, with the food you're eating and everything you're doing, because that is exactly how Coach Baruch wants to test you in this exact position right now. And therefore for you to say, you know, if only I had a better chavruta, if only I had a better wife, if only I had a better gemara, whatever it may be, is completely not realizing how Kodesh Baruch Hu has arranged everything for you in that position. The Leishu v'Shalva is doing it for yourself, not for Avodas Hashem. That was Yaakov Avinu's mistake, kaviyochol. And by doing that, Rachmana Litzlan, listen what that triggered off. That triggered off a whole series of events of Yosef, his son, of his Abay Chachim, his mamish, his son, his closest to, they had to go down to Mitzrayim, all these stories, because the person didn't realize that the importance of where you are and what you're doing and how you're doing it is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you the tools for this moment to deal with it the best possible way.
So he wasn't in trouble at the time.
Now he was in trouble.
Later
because
on.
Because of this.
He wanted to.
Kod thinks Olav Reitzel jumped on him, the whole problem of Yeshua. Because he wanted to sit the Shalva, Kod thinks Olav Reitzel.
So you're saying you've gotten into a bad incident, you don't want it to be like that, so you're thinking, oh, I wish it could be easier. So if something's happened, then
Yaakov means Yaakov wanted to sit the Shalva.
So what was his problem at the beginning then? What was so bad?
That's the thing. A person doesn't have to change his position to feel that that's his ideal way of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. In the situation not Shalva, he should try to reach the highest level he was at that particular stage. Not try and change the whole situation around and then say, oh, now I'm the Talmud, now I'll celebrate the Hashem. I'll celebrate the Hashem fully.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, at that point, he didn't have the problem with Yosef. He was settled.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't settled. But Yosef Yaakov means that Yaakov made the position that he wanted to, sort of, he was semi-retiring.
Right.
He was sort of like sitting back in his chair and going, geschmack.
Right.
Yeah? That wasn't the shout. He shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
He should have been working on the Avodas Hashem without going into a mode of relaxing, yeah, and saying, oh, now I can start doing the Avodas Hashem. The biggest, the bakasha of now doing a yeshiva, of just settling down, you don't have to settle down to the Avodas Hashem. Even without settling down, you can't. And that's just someone always used to say something very good. He said, people often, they go around and people go from one yeshiva to another yeshiva, or on a lower level, they go from one chavrusa to another chavrusa. He says, when you say to lulav, we say to lulav, v'onah Hashem ha'yishriyano. V'onah Hashem ha'yishriyano, we say to lulav. V'onah Hashem ha'tzichano, we don't. So if you need a Yeshua, if you're in a terrible situation, you need a Yeshua, you need a salvation, you need to get out of this, then you start moving around from place to place, from forward to backwards, up and down, you start moving around. If you need just more hatzlocha, you stay still. Stay where you are, Hashem will give you that hatzlocha in that situation. You don't shake around the liver after it. On Hashem HaShirna, you move around. On Hashem HaShirna, you stay still. You daven, but if you don't start looking here and looking there, and maybe here will be better, here will be better, that is mamish atzah tayetza neto. Nothing more.
Who said that?
Well, from
it isn't right for a way for hatzlocha.
If you need the Yeshua,
if not Yeshua, maybe you want the tzlacha. You're fine. You want to go to the next level, but you don't think your situation is one you can.
Okay, you got to realize if it's a Yeshua, it's a hatzlocha. If it's a more hatzlocha, it's possible. The parsha carries on, and it's one of the most tragic parshas that we suffer until today because of Mechiras Yosef. Exactly what was going on is not our place and not our time to discuss exactly the mistake of the brothers. Chassam Shom to think that the Shifte Koch took brothers and just sold them to slavery. They felt he was a Reday, they felt they made a Beit Din. Very, very complicated issue. But the Maestro did tell him, and Yosef did not forgive them fully, and that was the cause of a Torah Gemalchus through the generations. Tamir Chomin got killed. I'm not sure who it says, I think C. Pesach Frank said that we suffer until recently of blood libels because of what happened of Yosef with his brothers, and said you recognize its blood and it changed the blood round. Until today we're suffering blood libels because of that. Even Oprah Winfrey had a whole thing about blood libels, which is, I think, in 1988 or something, had a whole thing about Jews using blood for the matzahs, and it was sort of unopposed on television. Yeah, we're still suffering from that stuff today. Yeah, because of that. But the Maestro, there's one very strange prophet. The prophet says Yosef has been taken and has been, you know, he's been stripped of his kafenas pasim. Yeah, he takes his kafenas pasim and they took it off him. And says Rashi, many places, that the kafenas pasim was the thing that caused the jealousy in the first place. The kafenas pasim, the fact that Yaakov Avinu gave him the kafenas pasim, that kafenas pasim, this special cloak, was like a cloak that really, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That he was chosen to have this cloak as like a crown that Yaakov Avinu gave to him, that was more than they could take. And they were jealous. Whatever that means, they were jealous. So Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein has a very, very strong marshal here. He says that he was once in a bus from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, and he was on Kibbutz Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim Tel Aviv, and there was terrible, terrible traffic. And he gets the bus is moving, crawling down from Yerushalayim towards Bnei Brak, until they pass the Kastel. Kastel's on the left hand side, that big, whatever it's called, the Kastel further down, not before Shargai, not just before Bet-Semes, the Kastel. Now, and he looks out there and he sees, what's that?
Samotza.
And he sees a horrific road accident. And there are facilities. And he sees people lying on the road, a couple of people lying on the road dead. And Nebuch, they were covered up, somebody covered them up with a jacket, and the family was standing there crying, shouting, wailing, and the ambulance hadn't yet come to pick up the bodies. It was a horrific sight. And he noticed something in the corner of his eye, that the car that had caused the accident was a brand new, top of the range American car. Didn't say which one it was. Yeah, top of range American car, an unusually beautiful car. And he saw on the front seat, the whole windscreen was smashed, and there was blood all over the windscreen, and all over the seats, and all over the bright and steering wheel, a real mess. So he's going through his car to the Yeshev, and it struck him, and he thought to himself like this. He says, imagine when this guy drove home with his brand new car the first time. Yeah, the guy from next door sort of moved his shutters and looked out, and he gets, crest. You know, he sees his 10-year-old Subaru there, and this guy's got this brand new Pontiac. Yeah, whatever it is, I don't know, it's a good American car, Baruch. A Buick, whatever, yeah? A brand new Cadillac. He's got a beautiful Cadillac there, and it gives him a crest. He gives him a crest, and he thinks to himself, you know, why is this guy better than me? What? Does he do more mitzvahs than me? Why should he deserve the car and I've got this old Subaru? Little did he realize that last Yom Kippur, or Nigzar and Shemayim, that this should be the tool used to have him dead. This car is going to be the last thing he's ever going to use while he's alive. In this Cadillac is going to be his dead body. That's what Nigzar and Shemayim. If he knew that this is a tool that's going to be used to kill him, would he be jealous? Would he be jealous? Of course he wouldn't. Of course he wouldn't be jealous. He says, the Medrash says, Pasim, Kisonas Pasim is a Rosh HaTevis. Potiphar, Sochrim, Yishma'elim, and Midyonim. They're the four people that were involved in Mechiras Yosef. Potiphar, Sochrim, Yishma'elim, and Midyonim. Would the brothers be jealous if they realized that this is going to be the cause of Sarti Yosef? That the famous Pasim was the tool used to get the jealousy that he's going to be sold in that. There would never been jealousy if he knew what Taurus is going to go through because of the famous Pasim. Mitzrayim. Midyonim. That's the famous Pasim. And that's what we have at the end of this week's Sedra. The end of this week's Sedra, imagine we have, why is it important to know the dream? Suffering with the people who sold in the middle, the people buying and selling Yosef in the middle. What do you mean? Yeah, but those are the four buyers who were involved in Yosef. He said, imagine in Mitzrayim, he said, why is it important for us to know the whole story of the Saho Eifos? Yeah, it's basic. Why is it important for us to know the story? Why isn't just tell us the story of the Saha Mashkin? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Just know the story about Saha Mashkin. That is, they correctly translated the story, interpreted the story correctly, and he went out and finished and left Mitzrayim, they left prison, told Pari the story, got Yosef out. That's all we need. Why do we need his poor sizes? Why is that important? So it's possible, why is it important? Because if it only had Saha Mashkin, we wouldn't know that Yosef was so correct in his analysis. Yosef may just be guessing, a flip of a coin, and yes or no, and it happened to be right, and he got out. So what do you need Saho Eifos for? To show no. You have two people in the same position, and one Yosef correctly predicted that he's going to be killed, and one Yosef correctly predicted he's going to be go out. Two out of two is pretty good. I mean, it's a gamble, but it's a good gamble. And that's what's worthwhile. Power is taking him out of its shrine because of that. Which means he needed Saho Eifos to be killed in order to get Yosef out of its shrine. Now, in that position too, imagine you have a whole baker's, you know, a whole bakery store. You have 30 different bakers working, baking bread in Mitzrayim. And suddenly one guy gets the job of being the chief baker. He gets pulled out, he gets called into the office there by, I don't know, this Egyptian guy, and he says to him, listen, you've got the biggest financial shortcut of your life. You've been ordered to go to Paris and become the royal baker. The guy, can you imagine? The jealousy of the other bakers. Seeing this guy get taken out, suddenly they're all working in the shop, he gets fetched by Cadillac every day, taken to the royal palace. Yeah, he's walking around in his beautiful suit. Yeah, everything's unbelievable. What jealousy. They didn't realize. If they would know the end of the story, the only reason why he's being put there is that he's going to be the one who's going to be used to be killed, to just that Yosef got out of Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. Out of prison. That is the whole idea. Which means if we were jealous of some things, if we knew what was behind that, what sad the other person may go through. And even if they don't go through, halavai, it's good for them. So who knows? Who knows if a person using the Olam Haba, if they're getting a better job for you, who knows? It doesn't make any sense for Chal to be jealous. That is the idea over here of Ketanas Pasim, of the Medrash over there. Now, it says in the parasha. Yeah.
I just want to see about the burial. Oh, your body. Is there
anything?
Burial? Yosef. Yeah, the burial. Yosef's burial. Or fetching the body.
It's next week where he takes burial Yaakov's bones and he takes.
Ephaichi.
Not Yaakov, Yosef.
Yeah, Yosef is later on with Moshe. Moshe takes him.
No. Yaakov, obviously the sons come back and they say, you know, here's the blood.
Right.
And then?
No, Chayra Ochalotri, Chayra Eitim.
That's what it says, no remains
there. No, well, maybe bones there, but it didn't bring like a bone, they may have buried it, and that's it. She recognised it.
No,
Okay, I don't know. Let's move on. It says later on. What always hurts me is Vayis Velecha Lochem. Let's eat. Yeah. To lose the appetite. Vayis Velechem Vayiru, and he saw Vahine Orchot Yishmaelim Baal Migilod, and Orchot Yishmaelim was coming from Gilod. Ugmalehem and the camels and Maitim are carrying a chois with three Valoit Holchim Lahurim Mitzrayim off. And they're carrying a staff to take down to Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, Loma Pirseim Hakotavis Masor, and why is it important for us to know exactly what they're carrying? Lohidia Matan Sechoron Shol Tzadikim. To show the Tzchav Tzadikim. Sheim Darkom Shal Aravim Lochseit El Neft De Itzron Sherechon Ra. It's not a derech for Arabs to carry only Neft and Itzron, bad smelling spices, as bad smelling oils, but it has a bad smell. That's usually what they carry. Ulezen is Vabnum Besomim. And Hashem arranged it that they should carry the summit. So they use that mireach ra, they should not suffer from the bad smell. Now, Apisvara, I mean, Yosef is being sold by his own brothers now, being sent down to Mitzrayim. His own brothers sold him, and being sent down to Mitzrayim, a place that had such magical powers, a slave had never ever left Mitzrayim alive. That's it. Doomed. Has no way of getting out. It's a catch-22 situation. He can never go back, no postage, no emails. Nothing. He's stuck there in Mitzrayim, a lowly Eved, the Madregas, the Mitzrayim is so full of tumah, completely lost in both Ruchnis and the Gashmias, lost. Yeah? And what's going on? Ah. Matan Skorin Shol Tzadikim. Why? They usually, yeah, usually the pickup truck that kidnaps people, yeah, doesn't have air fresh in the front, this one does. Oh, made all the difference for Yosef. I'm going down and it's not smelling. Do you think he even noticed the smell? Says Chaim Shmulevitz, the same thing for Chanukah. Chanukah, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating Mamet, an unbelievable battle of religion and Hellenism. It was a battle that had been going on for many, many years and continued for many, many years. It did not finish by Hanukkah. In any way, by no means, did the battle of Yvonim against the Chasmoy finish by Hanukkah. It didn't. It carried on for many, many years later. So what was the whole battle? It was a battle of Yiddishkeit against complete communism. They couldn't do any mitzvahs. It was a battle of the light against the dark. Unbelievable. In the middle of this whole battle, they find a bottle of oil. Ah, they found a bottle of oil, the Chachamim are calling Gadol, everything is fantastic now, and Al-Kain Kovud make a Kviyas, they make a Yom Tov of Chomer Chofei, they make a Yom Tov of Chanukah, because they found a bottle of oil, the Chachamim are calling Gadol. Fine, they saw Jews being killed, they still couldn't keep the mitzvahs properly, but it happened to have a Koyach to be Mitzahe Yerushalayim. Not at all. Chonoch HaFei, which means they had time now, the base of Midrash was now purified, and they found this bottle of oil. But there's a bottle of oil for what was the next? What were we celebrating on Chanukah? Not the Milchama. We're not celebrating. What's that? Nothing spectacular that happened then. In the Tfilah, we mentioned that as well. But that's not why we have Chanukah. If you look in the Gemara says because they found a bottle of oil, the Chasamis of Kohen Gadol, which means ultimately they found a bottle of oil, very nice, off the man's light, the Benoya. Well, that's the whole celebration. The celebration should be the unbelievable victories against, you look in the history books, you look in the Beryl Wise books, the books they have upstairs in the art scroll, you look at the unbelievable fights they had. You can't imagine, we think today it's modern, warfare, it doesn't really impress us that much. You have two people against a large, it's very simple. You have suicide bombers, yeah, and they go inside and they can blow up a whole plane. What's the big deal, one against a few? Or you have a nuclear bomb, you have one guy there, high-flying guy in some underground bunker, presses a button, pew, blows up 100,000 people in a go. Oh, easy. It's strong people, it's a little weak guy, can press a button, that's it. You have to understand then, it was dealing with hand-to-hand, arm-to-arm combat, with chariots, with massive, with huge swords at the side, just mowing them down, and these elephants like tanks. And the mission was unbelievable. That's not the celebration. The celebration was that we found a pack of oil, and the war carried on afterwards. What's the idea? Says Rechaim Shmulevitz, that we don't celebrate on Hanukkah victory. We celebrate on Hanukkah connection. We celebrate on Hanukkah that we are one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Kad of Shemen, and this Kad of Shemen lasted for 8 days, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing that He's with us. His clearness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding our hand. If Hashem holds our hand, we're fine. That is a celebration. The celebration is not the fact that we have victory, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is connected and watching over us and helping us. We celebrate that much more than anything else. For example, you have imagine a father is married off a child, and he buys him, he's a good shver, and he buys his son who is sitting and learning the whole day, he buys him a house. Buys him a house in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Yeah, buys him a nice house with a garden and air conditioning and a brand new kitchen. Fantastic. And then, not only that, he buys him the first grocery. He goes and he goes to the Zohar Mahadrin. He spends 3,000 shekel, buys him all detergents and food and cutlery and vegetables and everything, and stocks up the fridge with cheeses, everything he wants. Well, the son will probably appreciate the shopping more than he appreciated the house. Because the house is necessary. For survival, you need a house. But the fact that you do something incredible, like doing something like this, of showing such amount of love, 3,000 shekels, what's 3,000 shekels compared to, $180,000, $190,000? It doesn't compare. But that's what's showing Ahava. That was the bottle of oil on Hanukkah. The extra love of Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to do it. That the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we celebrate. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the war, he gave us his extra kit. He gave us his extra nest that we could do on Hanukkah. That's the connection, that's the nest of Hanukkah. And that's exactly what happened here with Yosef. Yosef was a situation of a different moshul. Imagine a person, Nebuch, his intensive care unit. Nebuch, he had a terrible, he had a brain, he had a clot in his brain, and this guy is totally unconscious now. He's been in this vegetative state now on a heart support machine for 3 weeks, and you can hear the purring of the machines and the up and down of the heart machine working, and then the Terut Nebuch, and all of a sudden the family is watching their Nebuch from outside this, outside this big wall with a glass, watching this fellow bedecked in tubes and everything. Suddenly there's a shriek. What's the shriek? What happened? The guy, his little toe moved. He moved his little toe. Celebration! Unbelievable! The guy moved his little toe. What, you got him back? No, he doesn't understand. But moving his little toe means that there's something happening there. There's something happening there, and therefore we had hope. Now we haven't had hope like this since Nebuchadnezzar had his brain clot, his brain tumor. This was the Orchid Yishma'elim. Orchid Yishma'elim was that, of course, Yosef was sitting bound and gagged on top of this camel being sold as a slave. But he saw Hashem was going with him. He saw Hashem is doing something unusual for him. He's not alone. He's not abandoned. He has Hashem taking him down to Mitzrayim. That's what he needed. He needed the hand of support. He felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand now on his shoulder. And that's what changed everything. So Orchid Yishma'elim wasn't his salvation. It didn't help him. But it did help him, emotionally it helped him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down with him to Mitzrayim. And Yosef, with his belief, and with his strong emunah and betachon that Abraham was with him the whole time, went through the most difficult nisyonos one can ever imagine. With Potiphar's wife, with emunah and betachon later on, when Pharaoh praised him and Yosef, Biladai, it's not me, it's Hashem, when clearly Pharaoh didn't believe in Hashem, his emunah and betachon was unbelievable because he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's order with us. Abraham, we should never be tested. We should never ever be tested. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us as Hashem a life of health and happiness and everything we need. But when Chas V'Shalom, Rachman Litzan, if Yenem does have an Nisayon, if Yenna does have a difficult time, he should always look out for the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. Always look out for the sign that, oh, this, but, you know, as I came out of a hospital, it just happened to be that I met a friend who lives two doors away from me and he took me home. Unbelievable, Yad Hashem, Yad Hashem, Nebuch, fine, but Hashem is with you. And that gives chizuk. And that is when what everyone does, try and find Yad Hashem. And that's Orchus Yishmein, that's the lesson of Orchus Yishmein. We have the next parsha. Again, a very, extremely difficult parsha of Yehuda and Tamar. Now, if you don't chumash like a school child, and that's the way you go through Tanakh, you have the goodies and the baddies. We don't find Avraham Avinu messing around with Avraham Avinu. Do we? Yeah? We don't. We find Yehuda does. Okay, he wasn't so good. You know. And then we find, I mean, we're dealing here, we have to understand who we're dealing with. You think of the God Lador and multiply that by hundreds and hundreds of times each story. We're dealing here with a Shittikor, where the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is represented on the Chesham Mishpot by the Shvatim. Unbelievable how madrega they were. So just to translate it as some kind of, you know, he got lured into the blue light district of wherever it was, and you know, he fell in. Yeah, chas v'chalila, dealing here with mamish with Yehuda. So how do we understand this? So Chazal say, and we have to believe every word of Chazal being emes v'amitei mamish, that Yehuda had a nevuah, that he has to have, in order for Mashiach to come, he has to have relations with this woman, and he had no bechira bechlal, he had no free choice bechlal in this situation whatsoever. That's what's brought down in the Medrash. The Medrash brings it down, and everyone talks about it. I think even Rabban talks. He had no bechira bechlal. He had no free choice bechlal. He had to do it. And that's for Yosef. What's that? He was. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. It's free will. I mean, there's no right or wrong here. He had. It means the correct thing to do was to have to be with Tamar. No doubt about it. There were other mistakes later to own up, etc., etc. That was something else. But he had to have relations with Tamar. There's no doubt about it. Fine, very good. I can understand Yehuda. What about Tamar? What did Tamar think? How did Tamar think when Tamar also realized something special? How did Tamar think that she's going to get hold of Yehuda? How is she going to attract the God Lador, into this relationship? What did she think? Step back a moment. I mean, forget about everything, all the hoichazach and all the high, you know, spiritual things. What did Tamar think when she put on her these clothes and she covered her face and she stood by the Prophet Rochim? How did she think for one moment that Yehuda's going to stop and see her as a Zainar? Boom, it's going to click and everything's going to be fine. How did she think? How did she choose to such a person? She knew who Yehuda was. What was she doing? Says Mechaim Shmulevitz that Yehuda, that was a tremendous godel. Tamar knew that she was a tremendous godel. Tamar knew that she had to be with Yehuda. How is she going to do it? It's impossible. You're right. Doesn't mean you don't have to try. Doesn't mean you have to do everything possible to try and make sure it does happen. So Yehuda is a tremendous godel. No way. Fine. But I have to do my bit. I have to do what I have to do. After that, Hashem will help. That's what Tamar did. Tamar's action was the action of doing whatever she could possibly do to make sure that Yehuda is enticed. And that was it. And what happened from there, what came from there? Malchus and Mashiach. You heard them, Tom? Yeah, if you hood, them, Tom. Yeah? No, no, no. No. Well, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. Interesting, the same name. That's Yehuda and Tamar here.
If Tamar knew that this is what Hashem wanted, why don't you just go after Yehuda and say, this is what Hashem wants?
That's not doing your bit. That's like saying, going to work and going, right, pay me now. You haven't worked.
But no, there was a whole situation he had to do in order to entice Yehuda. Yehuda wasn't at that stage. At that stage in time, he didn't even have this nevuah. Imagine Tamar is going after Yehuda, I'm daughter-in-law, yeah, I think he didn't have this nevuah yet. She knew that that's the correct thing. She had to do whatever she could in order to entice Yehuda.
Well, did he get the nevuah?
She didn't have, again, she did not have the nevuah. She did not have the nevuah of Bechlal that Mashiach was going to come out from her. She just knew the right thing to do was to have relations with Yehuda. That's all she knew. What's that?
How did she know that through
nevuah? No, to the right thing because of Yibum. But it's a whole complicated, because of Yibum. There's no brothers left. So the father-in-law of Yehuda didn't want to do it. She had a whole track of the Torah what the right thing is to do. She knew the right thing is to do that. How is she possibly going to get Yehuda? She didn't know that Yehuda was going to get Nevuah, that he has to do it in order to get the Melech HaMashiach coming out from there. She didn't know that, but she has to do what she could do. That's the Kriach. No, you see by the case of Ruth and Boaz as well, the same thing. Ruth and Boaz is the same thing also, from this Maisa as well. So the Korah, the closest Korah is in of Yibum. Boaz also wasn't a brother-in-law. Again, it's a whole... This was a Koyach of the Melech HaMashiach. I'm just going to show. This is the Koyach of Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is the idea and understanding that we have to do whatever we can do. We don't follow the polls. A leader, a Melech, doesn't follow polls. You don't see if things aren't going well in your party, you leave your party and start a new party. That is not a leader. That's a wimp. Then suddenly you take your party and you do whatever you can and you follow what you don't start a new party. You don't go off and do other things because you just can't lead. And that's doy Mashiach, So Mashiach come, and the doy of bringing Mashiach is like a doy kelev.
Face of a dog.
What's that face of a dog? So Alan Yitzhak said it, the dog will go, hop, give. You know, it's always looking for more and more. So the face of a dog means if you see a man walking with his dog, Who looks like the leader? Who's pulling who? You see, looks as if the dog is the one in charge, and he's taking the guy for a walk. Yeah, he's taking the guy for the walk. So what happens is, at every corner, the dog looks around to see where the master wants to go, and then he'll go in that direction. So that's a doy of Mashiach. Before Mashiach comes, that's a leader in this generation. They've got an idea. They work according to polls, and whatever the nation wants, they follow. Tamar and Yehuda, the relationship was one that we don't know what, it doesn't make sense. We don't go according to what people want. It's what has to be done, that's what we're going to do. That's what Tamar, that's why Mashiach came out of Tamar, and that is why Malchus came out of Tamar. What has to be done, has to be done. And that is what they say at the end of the parasha, when they had the twins. When they had the twins, it says, very strange thing. Per lamates of chavzayin. Vahi be'eit lidato, vahi ne'eit to'oimim be'bitno, she had twins. Vahi be'lidato, during a birth, v'yiten yod, v'tika chamayaledes, v'tiksha al yodoi, shoni, le'imo, ze'e yod to rishoyno. One put up a hand, ze'e yod to rishoyno. Vahi kemeshiv yodoi, he put back his hand into the womb. V'hi ne yod to ochiv, and his brother came out. Well, you know what happened here? Suddenly you came out second. The one who came out originally first, now one behind. What happened here? Vikushmoy porit. After that, the one who had his hand out originally pulled it back in and he came out second and he called his name Zorach. So the... he had a birth. Child number one put his hand out, they put a string around it, pulled his hand back in again, then the second one came out first, and then the first one came out.
And which one was Tarek? The one without the string?
One with the string. Parrot.
Parrot, one without the string.
What?
One without the string.
No, parrot is the first.
No, parrot is the second. Vahit Shemeshu Yadav, Hina Yotza Ochid, Vasena Ma Prat Selecha Parrot. Why are you doing the parrot here? How do you get around this one? Vikush Shmoy Parrot. We call the first one that came out Parrot. So he says, who's this? This is Ryaka Kamenetsky. He says, Vahit Shemeshu Yadav, Hina Yotza Ochid. He says, that's referring to, again, Beit HaMashiach. How it's going to happen. What's going to happen is that the Zericha puts his hand out first. The Zericha, the son, this Mashiach is about to come. Now, but you've got to know that the Balfour Declaration was put forth, I think it was 1917. People mamish thought Mashiach had come.
Really?
People, Gedolim, thought Mashiach had come, mamish about to come. They had a whole possession, went in tells, and they celebrated all over the Torah world. They're celebrating the Balfour Declaration. But the fact that a Goyish nation has realized there's got to be a state for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael is unbelievable. Mamish is unbelievable. And the Arthur told the Rav, Hashem Yikom Domri, to step outside in his balcony outside his house and give a drasha. And he said, if you do it right, Mashiach will come. If we do it wrong, you're just going to suffer. That's what he said. And he says that they're very optimistic, but they're very, very cautious, the Rabbonim. And he said that what's going to happen is that Hina Yotza Ochid, he's going to put a hand, is going to come out, and you think, oh, Mashiach, and all of a sudden, something's going to be explosions all around us. This is my parents, and we answer, well, what's all this explosion? What's going on here? Mashiach is supposed to be here. Why are we giving back land? What's going on now? Here we are, building a beautiful state of Israel, and suddenly giving back pieces of land? What's going on here? Afterwards, the real Mashiach is going to come out and he's going to shine and you know Mashiach has come. Klal Yisrael have always appreciated that the fact that we're back in Eretz Yisrael today, Al Pi Derech HaTorah, is Vaday Anes. The fact that Eretz Yisrael is flourishing the way it is the beginning of Mashiach. No doubt about it. I'm not being a Zionist here. The Gemara says it, when Eretz Yisrael will flourish, and its soul will grow, and people will start coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it's the beginning of Mashiach. But to think that this is Mashiach, to think that we have got to start celebrating Mashiach now, we're far, far from it. Hashem shall chas v'shalom not give us any more Yisurim before Mashiach really comes. But when it does come, it's suddenly going to be light. But until then, there could be a lot of different things distracting us, and let's not be distracted. It's a very, very interesting story. I think I told this in the past, in a couple of years back, if Alon will forgive me. But it's a very interesting story with Napoleon. It's a true story with Napoleon. Now you're gonna realize who Napoleon actually was. Okay, Napoleon. One of the Mashiach Sekers that the Jews really believed in as being a real Mashiach was Napoleon. They did not believe in him as being, you know, from Malchus Beis Dovid or Mashiach Ben Yosef, but they believed in him as being Mashiach Seker, the Mashiach to a certain degree. They believed that this person is sent by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he changed the world. It's unbelievable how he changed the world. Jews have been living in Pale of Settlements, having terrible jobs as being moneylenders and what else had two jobs, they moneylenders, tax collectors, all the really, you know, all the terrible jobs, lawyers and all the, you know, all the really scummy jobs and suddenly he opened them up, opened universities up, and became doctors. They flourished. It was unbelievable. Wherever he went, it was Nissim and Nisloy. But he was a man extremely open to real things. And the story goes like this: it's brought down from it's brought down in his Zman HaTorah from the Brit Gerov, who heard it from his father of Chaim. When Napoleon was in Europe. They say probably around Poland area. They made when he won over that area, they made a very, very large banquet for him. No. The place where he was, he made a big banquet. And he said, for my honour, I'd like a representative of every single religion to come and represent his people. So they got the galloch came, and the priest came, and the Catholic and the Protestant and the Roman and the Anglican and I don't know who else came, and wherever they came, the Buddhist came with his robe. They're all were there sitting there. The Hare Krishna came and with his drums and his little thing at the back. They're all sitting there on the top table. Each one doing his own shagat, his little Buddha and he looked around. Napoleon looked around. And he sees that somebody's missing. There's no Jew there. So he says, go and fetch the rabbi. Rebbe is also Yiddish, sitting there learning his Gemara. Then he gets knocked on the door. Napoleon wants you. Mama, the guy almost collapses. So what do you want? Napoleon wants you, come here. Rebbe, he puts on his old battered hat and his langer retel. And he goes on his thing. And there, suddenly, crowd stands up. Retel, long coat.
And so what Mayor Bard has.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the same one though. And everyone stands up for him, and he walks all the way in the front there. He's shivering. What do you want? Anyway, this is then the priest stands up and starts praising Napoleon. Great savior, great this, great that. Each one gives over their thing, and it comes to the son of the rabbi. What do you want me to say? I don't want to say. People praise everything. I'm not the guy to stand up and give shivachim. I'm not the guy to stand up and start praising. But he said, I don't want to hear praise. I've heard praise all my life. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear Das Torah. I want to hear what the Torah says about me. So you want to hear? I'll tell you. So he says, this week said a parasha for Yeshua. The end of the parasha says, the pastor says that the whole story there is about Ephraim and Samaskin, and he says in Perik Mem, Pasuk Yudalet, it says, "Ki im zechartani itcho kaf yitzav locha." Now this is a very, very difficult word to translate. "Ki im zechartani." So Rashi learns "ki" can be translated "asher." "Asher im zechartani." "Ki" can be translated "asher." "Asher," because or when, yeah? But ki im zechartani, Perek Mem Pasuk Yudalet. Ki im zechartani, what's ki im zechartani? What he should say is, please remember me. Im zechartani itcho kach yitzav locha. What's the key? What's the key? Because. What's the because im zechartani, if you remember me? What's the because? Yeah? When you're young, yeah, sometimes I mean because. But we don't get because at the beginning of a pasuk. Because im zechartani. So he said, I'll tell you what the chapter in this pasuk is. You all know the biblical sources, they've told them the whole story, and he said, listen. He said, in the way of judging various different high-level noblemen, there's two ways of doing it. If the guy is a civil servant, a regular civil servant, and he gets caught, for example, on charges of bribery. Yeah, let's say the guy, the chauffeur of the king gets bribery charges. So what do you do? You chuck him straight into jail. And they start judging him. They judge him. And if he's found guilty, they kill him, or they stick him in jail for a few more years, and he's found innocent, he can go back to his job. Not a problem. So what happens if this guy is a very, very high level minister? This guy is a Chancellor of Exchequer, he's a defense minister, whatever it is. You don't chuck him into jail and find out later. So you have a whole investigation first to take away his immunity, his diplomatic immunity, and then you start discussing whether he should press charges, you ask the Attorney General whether he shouldn't, and you start going through it. And it can take years, right? Eventually you have a court case. Once he has a court case, though, and he's found to be guilty, he's dead. He's finished. There's nothing. There's no chance of ever coming out. Oops, sorry. In jail, I'm sorry, it's a mistake. He can come out now. It doesn't happen. It's been such a long and thorough process, this guy's never going to go back again. Says Yosef, what happened here? So Yosef, what happened here? What happened here is that you are a Saha Maskin. You are very high up. Wine in those days was a very, very important job. And suddenly they throw you into jail. No, I'm sorry. You're a Saha Maskin. It's a very high job. So what happened? What happened? They must have had a big investigation before they took you off your job. It must have taken a while. Now what happens is now, and they still found you guilty, and they put you into jail. So Yosef says, by the way, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to come all the way back to Paray and serve Paray again on his birthday. So you're going to ask me, but that's crazy. I'm a high up guy in the government. They don't have to chuck me to jail. It must be because of good reason. Therefore, if it is for a good reason, they're never going to take me back again. I'm sure going to be killed. Says Yosef, you're right. It's very strange. Do you know why you're here? You're not here because you did something wrong. You're here because I'm in jail. I am the reason why you're in jail. And therefore, treating the chatan is because that you should remember me. That's why you're here in the first place. That's the reason. You're right, it's strange. But Kim Zachatani Itkoch Kashi Yitabloch. The reason why you're going to come out is not because you deserve to come out. You shouldn't need to be killed. But the only reason why they're going to let you out is Kim Zachatani. That you should be in this jail right now with me, that you should remember me to take me out of jail. That's why you're here. Key. Because. That's what's happened in the pocket. Said this rabbi to Napoleon, what are you doing here? You've got France. You know how beautiful Paris is? Paris is beautiful. What are you doing here in miserable Poland? Stuck away in this jail of Eastern Europe. Why are you in cultured Western Europe with opera houses and arts and everything else? I mean, you can stare at Mona Lisa for hours. What are you doing fighting through the trenches in Poland? You know why? Ki im zachartani. Klal Yisrael has suffered. We're the children of Yosef. We've suffered so much. We have had such a difficult life all these years. The reason why you're here is because of us Jews to help us. That's why you've been so successful all this time. Don't think it's because they make statues of you all over Europe for your own medals. No, it's Kim Zachartani. You're here to save us. Get the message. Help us. He was very impressed. Napoleon was very impressed at the first time they actually said it to him, and that they say was instigated him to be much, even more lenient on Klal Yisrael, and it wasn't the Maaseh, it wasn't a good thing. Because, you know, apparently the Rebbes at that time had told Hasidim to daven that Napoleon should be defeated by the Russians. Because opening up the ghetto was the worst thing to happen to Klal Yisrael. But be that as it may, they made life a lot easier for them. That's what Shakim Zachartani. And I just want to just finish off with one very, very short, mummish, very short verse. It says in the end, Perik Mem, V'lozochasa ha-mashkin es yeis v'yishkocheyu. Yeah? You go after, if a person has never been through the parasha, so go through Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos, and you get to the prophet, V'lozochasa ha-mashkin es yeis v'yishkocheyu n'shigokim. So go and sit down, and you just, Nebuch, eating your cholent in misery. Finish the shul, and Nebuch, you just, the whole meal, you're just thinking about poor Yosef. Stuck in that miserable pit. V'yishkocheyu, you've forgotten no chance of survival. Said the Bala Musa, hey, come. Said the Bala Musa, don't worry. Wait a few more minutes. Wait till Shabbos Mincha. Son of Yosef is out. Don't worry, wait a few more minutes to see everything's okay. And it's only that you should become a king, that's how the whole thing happens. Sometimes you look in the ruts, you look deep down in the pit, nothing happens. But Yishkacheu, end of the story. Don't worry. Wait till Shabbos Mincha. Wait a few more minutes. Suddenly the Himikation of Simon, everything turns light, everything turns bright. Everything seems as wonderful. And that is a lesson of this week's parasha, of the net of Chanukah is appreciated and love of the Kodesh Baruch to us. Then in one short time, Ez Hashem, the Kodesh Baruch is a real Mashiach, not some false Mashiach, that we should believe and know that Kim Zachatani, that Kodesh Baruch has arranged the whole world for Klal Yisrael, and Kodesh Baruch should, Ez Hashem, redeem Klal Yisrael in the best possible way.
The first part is about